My Brilliant Career, written by Miles Franklin, narrated by Sarah Nichols. Introduction. Possum Gully, near Goulburn, New South Wales, Australia, 1st March 1899. My dear fellow Australians, just a few lines to tell you that this story is all about myself. For no other purpose do I write it. I make no apologies for being egotistical. In this particular, I attempt an improvement on other autobiographies. Other autobiographies weary one with excuses for their egotism. What matters it to you if I am egotistical? What matters it to you, though it should matter that I am egotistical? This is not a romance. I have too often faced the music of life to the tune of hardship, to waste time in snivelling and gushing over fancies and dreams. Neither is it a novel, but simply a yarn. A real yarn. Oh! As real as really real, provided life itself is anything beyond a heartless little chimera, it is as real in its weariness and bitter heartache as the tall gum trees, among which I first saw the light, are real in their stateliness and substantiality. My sphere in life is not congenial to me. Oh, how I hate this living death, which has swallowed all my teens, which is greedily devouring my youth, which will sap my prime, and in which my old age, if I am cursed with any, will be worn away. As my life creeps on forever through the long toil-laden days with its agonizing monotony, narrowness, and absolute uncongeniality, how my spirit frets and champs its unbreakable fetters all in vain. Special notice. You can dive into this story head first, as it were. Do not fear encountering such trash as descriptions of beautiful sunsets and whisperings of wind. We, 999 out of every 1,000, can see naught in sunset save as signs and tokens whether we may expect rain on the morrow or the contrary. So we will leave such vain and foolish imaginings to those poets and painters, poor fools. Let us rejoice that we are not of their temperament. Better be born a slave than a poet. Better be born a black. Better be born a cripple. For a poet must be companionless, alone, fearfully alone in the midst of his fellows whom he loves. Alone because his soul is as far above common mortals as common mortals are above monkeys. There is no plot in this story because there has been none in my life or in any other life which has come under my notice. I am one of a class, the individuals of which have not time for plots in their life, but have all they can do to get their work done without indulging in such a luxury. Chapter 1. I Remember, I Remember. Boo! Ow! Ow! Oh! Oh! Me'll die! Boo! The pain! The pain! Boo!
Come, come now. Daddy's little mate isn't going to turn Turk like that, is she? I'll put some fat out of the dinner bag on it and tie it up in my hanky. Don't cry any more now. Hush, you must not cry. You'll make old Dart buck if you kick up a row like that.
That is my first recollection of life. I was barely 3. I can remember the majestic gum trees surrounding us, the sun glinting on their straight white trunks, and falling on the gurgly fern-banked stream which disappeared beneath a steep scrubby hill on our left. It was an hour past noon on a long clear summer day. We were on a distant part of the run, where my father had come to deposit salt. He had left home early in the dewy morning, carrying me in front of him on a little brown pillow which my mother had made for the purpose. We put the lumps of rock salt in the troughs on the other side of the creek. The stringy bark roof of the salt shed, which protected the troughs from rain, peeped out picturesquely from the musk and peppercorn shrubs by which it was densely surrounded, and was visible from where we lunched. I refilled the quart pot in which...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?